Guys, so we're back with some casual convos. Today we got five of us here. Some other will probably show up later, but today's just an open session on some very, I guess, controversial recent topics, right, Joel? I think there's something you'd like to share with us.
I don't think it's very recent. It's the oldest trick in the book. But before I go in on that, I would like to ask you guys to join my wallet group. It's pretty simple. You basically just put in a small amount of money and then some steps in between, which you don't need to worry about. And then you get like 9K out of it. So, sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Why would you even overthink that?
Yeah, by work. So, what's small? Like $5?
I mean, you could start small, but I'd advise you to think big. I mean, go big or go home.
Yeah, really selling it there. Yes. As you may have surmised.
To be precise, my system is nothing like those Ponzi schemes like Bitcoin or Ethereum, those things you hear about.
Sure. So wallet, as you said, I guess the oldest trick in the book, but if you haven't realized yet, the topic of today is going to be around, I guess, multi-level marketing, pyramid schemes, Ponzi schemes, name it whatever you like, scams. Basically, get-rich-quick schemes that people more than often tend to fall under and then see their lives dwindle away, their financial status, and they're actually off worse than when they started most of the time. What surfaced this topic basically is that I think a few months ago something started circulating in Suriname again called Wallet. I got brought to my attention by one of the other guys and I totally forgot to put in my headphones. It's called Wallet. Since you're local there, Joel, could you tell us how that started circulating and how much you invested in it?
I think it started somewhere on Facebook, but I'm not much on Facebook. So I guess one day I opened Facebook for some laws and political statuses. And I opened Marketplace and every 5 or 10 items, there's one wallet item where people are advertising in SRD wallets, US dollar wallets, and even Euro wallets. I haven't seen crypto wallets yet, but that may come eventually.
Do they have the same originator?
If I were to guess, I think it would have started around the time that people were I think it's heavily tied in with the exchange rate. So the higher the prices get, the more desperate people get for money for a quick fix of cash. So it's the ideal time to strike for people who benefit from these schemes.
Is it something that like surfaced right after the elections and then there was a lot of uncertainty? Do you think it's something local or something brought on from, because what's the product basically? The product. We know what the products are, but what's the product?
It's not even a product, but the main focus is all, as always with these schemes, is on community and empowering each other and stuff like that. Like with the One Life community, they were selling they were selling financial training sessions, yeah, or something, right?
Yes.
But wallet is even simpler than that. It's just put in your money and you get out money.
Wow, very obvious. How simple. So I guess we could just all retire and put in $500 SRD US, and it will just grow magically like that without putting in any knowledge. So basically everyone can win, theoretically, right?
Yeah. One second. I think someone's at my gate. I'll be back.
Yeah, cool. Anyways, that's basically the premise, guys. But let's take it back a step and look at some history, I guess. We know it as pyramid schemes, Ponzi schemes. They're multi-level marketing. They put on a lot of different names. They have some nuanced differences. I think the most popular term is a pyramid scheme because it's easy to recognize that shape, that triangle shape, once you see the structure on how to recruit. And basically you start off as one person, you recruit five people, you get a commission. Each of these five individuals recruit another person, they get a commission. So you have a kind of upstream. So the more people, the earlier you're in it, actually, the more you can profit or take advantage of, let's call it that, of people. And the people at the bottom are basically, yeah, they're at zero until the whole system crashed down, and then they close this pyramid scheme, start another one, and so the cycle continues. From my understanding, Ponzi schemes, kind of similar, but with some nuanced differences. Got its name thanks to a guy named Ponzi. And basically, it's convincing, I guess, people, investors, yada, yada, to, them giving you the money so you can use it to grow, in a sense. I think one of the most popularized incidents. Incidents is, not sure if you guys seen the movie. There's been a movie made about it. It's Bernie Madoff. If you haven't seen the movie, it's called The Wizard of Lies, based on the events that occurred during that. He was, I think, the chairman of the NASDAQ or one of the stock exchanges, and basically he was tricking investors to invest with him, but he wasn't actually investing in funds. He was just getting new investors in just to make sure he had funds to be able to liquidate the eventual investors that wanted their money. But basically, they gave him the money, but it wasn't really invested. It was a whole scheme. I highly recommend that movie if you guys want to know more about that. And being it happening at that high level, basically at the core of the stock market, the whole economic system, makes you wonder, what is not possible. And then you have the legalized term that they use, multi-level marketing, where they use some kind of legal loophole, to make it a legitimate transaction. But yeah, that's just, the paperwork behind it, because the recruitment aspect is basically that builds the pyramid shape. Brief intro, and yeah, Raul.
In the MLM, the loophole is that you do sell some stuff, so the customer does get something.
Yeah, exactly.
He does get something real.
That's the premise. I think on top of my head, and any products that come to mind.
In Suriname, you have the a lot of women are selling those things. I forgot. Is it L'Oreal? No, it's not L'Oreal.
Oh, yeah, it's at the tip of my tongue. that's what she said.
Aloe vera stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. You had the Organo Gold.
I think you mean Avon.
Yeah, Avon. Also, Avon is one of them too. Yes.
Avon. Yeah, but they're actually getting something because they're getting products.
Yeah, that's the legal loophole for that that pyramid.
Well, getting products at a ridiculous overpriced rate.
Yes.
Being like exclusive. And what ends up happening is like people stocking up on these products and eventually just have the stock because no one wants to buy it anymore, or you've recruited the whole country that's recruitable.
Yes. Yeah. That's
same. It was the same with One Life. I don't know if those guys still exist, but they were also focused on financial advice and financial training. And that didn't even bother me, because if you want to teach people financial advice, sell packets of financial training, go ahead. What bothered me was that they were promoting it as cryptocurrency. They were promoting their coin, OneCoin, as cryptocurrency. And they even went so far as to say that they were operating on a blockchain, which was not true, because it was just a centralized system that was keeping hold of all the tokens.
So is what you're saying, you were okay with what they were doing, but what you were not okay with was that they used something, they disguised themselves as something else?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do multi-level marketing and sell a product, it's up to the people to judge if that product is worth the money that is being asked or not. As long as they're not marketing on false premise.
So would you argue that multi-level marketing is not bad per se?
But usually they market on false premise. I mean, even Avon, they're telling you what you want to hear, that this cream will make you look prettier, or I don't know, this perfume will get you 50 girls a day, and people believe that. There are people who fall for it.
So what do you think? Yeah, okay, Ryan, yeah.
I think there's a thin line between like marketing and actually scamming. So it depends from which perspective you look at this. And from the marketing perspective, it's not their fault. It's completely legal. But from a scamming perspective, you're walking on thin ice. That's how I see it.
I mean, if we could draw similarities, is a democracy also a Ponzi scheme?
Greg, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, what I wanted to share is an experience with the wallet, game that has been going on in Suriname. The thing is, because I've been busy with behavioral economics, because you started with part of your introduction where you mentioned that even at a high level, like guys on Wall Street, that get caught up in this sort of schemes. So it says something, because you would think those guys like study and came from amazing schools, have amazing diplomas, and know the basics of economy. So you would think they will not get caught. So imagine when the scheme drops down to the lower level. So what's actually happening is that because of a crisis, that's my opinion, people are easily attracted to getting rich and making a buck really quick. It's actually like gambling, you know, because it's hope. And it most of the time it start off by little amounts, you know, like 50 SRD, really small amounts. And the thing is, in Suriname, because I have my twin brother, actually, I went to pick him up from work one of these days, and he said, "Hey, Greg, you know, I invested $50 into the wallet game, and I will be getting 5,000 SRD." So I was like, "What? Are you serious?" I was shocked, because I'm like, "Hey, we're twins, actually. I would think you and I would be thinking similarly about these kind of stuff." And he was like, "Yeah, $50, 5,000 SRD." I was like, "Can you please get out of my car?" Because, and then I told him, I tried to explain the way it works, because the money, the extra money needs to come from somewhere. It's not being invested. It's not like you're going to the bank and you're getting something for it. You're not gaining anything. Nobody's gaining anything. You're just putting away your money. So then I told them, okay, so what happens if 3 months pass and you don't get the $50 back, or you don't get the 5,000 back? And his response was, "Oh, it's just $50. So I think the whole approach and the whole mindset of people, and the reason why they start with very small amounts, is because the attitude of the person that's giving away his money, it's just $50. So imagine 5,000 or 10,000 people investing just $50. How quick the guy on top is getting rich. So I think because it has to do with crisis situation, it has to do with hope, but it also has to do with the attitude and the mentality of people, of how they think about money. And also it just has to do with basic economics, behavioral economy. Because we expect people to act a certain way because of their study and because of the knowledge they have. But when a crisis hits, then people start to doing a whole lot of crazy stuff. So that's what I wanted to share.
Cool.
But Greg, is the wallet game a pyramid scheme? Did your brother have to recruit other people for 50 SRD?
Yeah, so
the, he tried the reason to recruit
why I'm
you.
Laughing is because the reason why I'm laughing is because it's actually funny, because I told him, "Listen, you already gave $50, right? So why the hell do you need to go and perform other duties just to get more money? I mean, you already gave the people." It's like I go into this. It's like when I go into the Chinese shop, or into a store, and I give the guy my money, and then he says, "Okay, I paid for the bread," but then he says, no, "You need to go and collect a bottle of water for me, and can you please serve these customers before you get your money? Or maybe I'm going to give you an extra $2 or 20 cents." So that's why I got angry and I told him, "Hey, please get out of the car," because it's simple. No, I'm not going to say that, you know, because I read a lot, you know. I would think, okay, it's simple knowledge and logic, but come on, how can I give you my money and then I have to perform duties just to get something out of it? No, it doesn't work. It just didn't register here above. So it's actually a scheme. But because people are hopeful and because there is a crisis, people tend to forget logic. People tend to forget the value of that $50. Because if you actually take that $50, go to the store, you can buy bread for like 4 days, maybe a carton of milk, and you can live 3 or 4 days off of that. But then you invest the $50, you don't even know when you're going to receive the return on investment. And then even when I tell you, oh, you're not going to see that money again, you go like, ah, it's $50. So it says something about the mindset people are in, the way they value their money, but also the way they value themselves, actually.
Do you think it also has to do with some kind of the sheep mentality that exists, that if you're in a certain community and 90% of that community is doing wallet and all you hear is wallet this, wallet that, or your friends, 9 out of 10 of your friends are doing wallet, then you feel a certain kind of pressure and also a bit of trust towards taking that step.
Okay, so that's a really cool question, because it just allowed me to think of a test they were running in a patient waiting room. So it doesn't even have to do with trust. I think it has to do with peer pressure and your environment, and also it has to do with your self-awareness and the way you manage yourself. So let me explain the test I saw on YouTube. So there are two people sitting in the waiting room at a doctor. One guy, those two people are actors. So one guy walks into the room, he comes into the room, he goes and sits down on the couch. And then all of a sudden, you hear a bell ring. So the two actors stand up. They stand up. Every time they hear the sound, they stand up. And then after 5 seconds, they go and sit down. So then the bell rings again. They stand up again. And after 5 seconds, they go and sit down again. So after like 2 times or 3 times, the other guy that's not an actor, he hears the sound and he also starts to get up. Wait 5 seconds and then go and sit down. So then somebody else who is also not an actor comes into the room, sees 3 people now responding to the sound, stands up, and then sit down again. So after a while, they remove the actors, and then it just continued. Everybody that came into the waiting room just kept getting up without questioning what the hell they were doing, because they saw somebody else do it and everybody kept repeating it without interrupting the process. So of course it has to do with peer pressure. And I think because we're social beings, you don't want to be left out. Instinctively, you don't want to be left out of the crowd. You react to, oh, okay, that's how it's being done. Instinctively, I want to be a part of the crowd. So that's why we respond that way, I think. I hope that answered your question.
Combined with lack of self-awareness, as you mentioned.
Yes, very much.
Someone who had self-awareness would at least pose the question, why the hell are we doing this?
Yeah, but not only that, because someone else actually asked, there was a woman, I think, during the test, that actually, the experiment, that actually asked, like, what's going on? And then one of the other people in the room, they responded with, oh, I got here and I saw everybody doing it, so I began to do it. It's not only about asking the question, it's staying true to yourself. Because after he or she got the answer why the other person was doing it, he just kept on doing it. Get up, sit down. Every time the boss went off, get up, sit down. So it's about self-awareness and self-management. And the self-management part is, I think, the most important part. Because even if you receive an answer, you still have to act based on your own norms.
Yeah.
Stay true to yourself.
If I can reflect on that, that what the example that Craig gave about the study, the experiment that was performed, is like because of our human mind is programmed to have a monkey see, monkey do mentality. And also as humans,
That's a sensitive subject in Suriname right now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about from a psychological perspective, and to be particular on neuro-linguistics programming, which is, has an affinity with psychology. We as humans, we have a fear to be alone. And that's why if we see someone is doing something, we tend and we see that, hey, this is different. Am I different? Maybe I should do it also. And that's something that we as humans were born with. It's one of the ways that we develop ourselves. We learn stuff is by seeing others doing it. And after amount of time, when your brain starts developing itself further, then we start learning things from other perspectives, saying, hey, let me do my own research. Let's question everything. What's going on? Like, why are you doing this? Why this or why that? But in the beginning stages, it's like this, and a lot of people they stay the same. They are hardwired with this monkey see, monkey do mentality. And that's why I could say that those people, we consider them as weak. They're weak. They're like, maybe brainless, if you say dumb. But they can't help it. It's how their mind is wired to act on things, to learn things. And that's why they fall for these schemes. And a lot of us are like this. It's how... this is how we are as humans.
Yeah, I think it's not. It's just not. It's not just one part of the community. Everyone does it on a certain level. Even we do it. Why do you need to be productive? Why do you need to have a laptop to be productive? There are other ways to be productive. That's an extreme example, but.
Yeah, I get that.
But also, why the small amount, like $50? It's a psychological barrier, and like the brother of Greg said, then I just lost $50. If they would ask like, hey, you have to give us $500, then the barrier would be much higher. And it's just like, when we were in the preschool, and then Snupalsa. If there were some events, then every week you had to bring a few bucks to school to save at the teacher. Like the teacher was having a pot. Okay, you have saved. For the last couple of days so much and you get this, etc. The compound effect of all these small amounts, that's the important thing, and that makes sense with the Ponzi schemes and pyramid schemes. And by the way, there is a slight difference between the Ponzi scheme and pyramid scheme. You guys can look it up. But it's about the compound effect and how people, the more people you get, the more money ends up with the initiator. And I think there's nothing actually that we can do than just create awareness that, hey, how to recognize a Ponzi scheme, how to recognize a pyramid scheme, and that's I guess that is what we can do kindly educated people that are here in the podcast.
Ryan, what I also wanted to say, it's not because the scheme starts with a minimum amount, $50.
But yeah, that's a psychological barrier, right?
Yeah, that's a psychological, yeah. So as the group becomes more larger and it grows, the amount also increase. Because
that's
then
a compound
the
effect.
Guy who's, yeah, precise, because the people who are at the head of the scheme, they become aware that the group has now become really big, so they can actually build off of the amount of people in the group. So they can now start promoting and saying, oh, look, we have 10,000 people who have joined. And then ask those people to leave a comment or a remark, maybe 5 people who have actually gotten a payout, so that the scheme can become much more bigger and the amounts that they ask become larger and larger and larger.
That's the monkey see, monkey do effect. So
yeah,
making the group larger. So like,
it's like
what we have, what I just did is like identified all the steps that are needed to identify these schemes. Like these are like the basic steps that that are performed to, so you can identify a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that barrier to entry point you guys made. I partially agree to that part of that low barrier to entry, and also to you know, that crisis brings desperation and people looking for a way out. But to add complexity to this fairly simple system, I see it this way. It's kind of like, especially if you look at the people who are usually targeted or who are more susceptible to it, the entry points are usually people, you know, Raul said it, there's a lot of women, for example, in the previous years, even beauty products, because most of them were usually not in the workforce, talking a lot about the past, but it's changing now. So people look for something else to do as an extra income. If you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, whatever, you look at that. And these people also, the way I see it, Greg's brother got targeted. It's like a Trojan horse. If you find one weak link in that community and get them to it, that person will act like a Trojan horse and get into the families, people with more resources, maybe, and get them to it. And in that sense, Joel's argument about trust comes into play. You may be critical, you may be asking the questions, but having it come from someone inside makes that more difficult, because you wait, oh, I want to help him or her to get out of this situation, so let's try it. So that adds a layer of complexity to this whole thing, and that groupthink mentality builds up. So you combine that with the groupthink and the conformity that we as humans develop. It's not as simple as saying, oh, it's this because people see monkey do. But it's multiple layers of, I guess, psychological cues happening at the same time that affects their behavior. And that's why I think it's kind of, You can list the items for red flags to look out for, but even knowing these, recognizing these, is not always enough for someone to break out of it. That's just something I wanted to add to that one. So having said that, recognizing these patterns, these red flags, what else do you think we could do to, aside from awareness, counteract in multiple layers, basically? Because that's how I think you gotta combat. It's not one battlefront. It's multiple flanks that you gotta approach the target from.
If you look at the source that they are using to communicate and pick their targets, it would be nice if Jean-Luc would have joined this podcast also as the social media guru from Suriname. But I think that most of the Ponzi schemes or wallet, for example, is advertised and people are recruited on Facebook. And maybe just like how Facebook is constantly updating their community guidelines, etc. A few months ago, a few weeks ago, they said that they would ban everything that has to do with Zwarte Pieter or on Facebook. Maybe, I don't know what the options are in order to protect the community from these scammers.
You would have to massively how do you say it? Melt it on.
Report it. But what if that's why I don't know that, but what if like the authorities of Suriname, like they ask Facebook that can you please ban this, because it's not good enough for my, it's not good for my community, it's not good for my people.
But
what I've seen is that the central bank, they released a press paper on that where they warned everyone that based on that.
So yeah, I think
the press release of the central bank should have been enough, in my opinion.
But no,
I think the press release from the central bank was more
a defense mechanism themselves.
Yeah, thank you, Diego. I didn't want it to say it like that, but I think the press release from the central bank was more has more something to do with the cash flow during the crisis in Suriname. It was I don't think it was meant to actually protect the people that are participating, because if you really, really, really want to protect the people from participating in these schemes, then you have to go to a higher level. I think the National Assembly, the DNA.
Yeah.
That's where you need to pass laws that forbid these things, that that gives restrictions and that allows the police to actually take action and the justice system to come down on these guys. But in really, the past, a press release is not enough.
So we ask one scam to regulate another scam.
Okay, wait. Hold on, guys. Before we get out of hand. Raul wanted to make a point, and then we'll go to Joel.
I wanted to add that in the past actions have been taken against these schemes. So has one been started against this one? Because NVRUP was one of them, and that was closed. And there are two others that the police got there and they closed it as a fraud. So has something been started against Wallet? Do we know who is the ringleader of Wallet?
Because fundamentally, structurally, they kind of operate similarly. And Greg's point, I think, was to formalize that as an illegal activity. But then this comes back to this loophole that you mentioned earlier, Raul, about this multi-level marketing speech. If there is a lot of gray area that overlaps, that you can't make it really black and white for this is illegal and this is not illegal, because who are you to authorize or to say which is right or wrong, which is making this passing of laws, I think, kind of complex, and you can't really directly approach it in this way unless you spend a lot of considerable resources trying to cover all the laws, but people are as much stupid as they are also geniuses to to finding loopholes in things. So that's the complexity of the whole situation. And yeah, Joel said, you know, trying to use one scam to counteract another scam. Care to share why you're saying that, Joel?
Yeah, the focus is on Ponzi schemes, so I won't go too much into that. But it may be applicable that the whole system, the whole voting system, the whole governance system is also a pyramid, one big pyramid scheme. Yeah, with one guy at the top who profits the most, and then you have another level up below him who profits a lot too, and then you at the very bottom you have the people who are carrying the whole system, and they just keep buying into it without question.
Well, what, can you repeat that? That was on a whole nother level the way you analyzed that.
Okay, yeah, not to get too political.
I don't want to get too political in this discussion. But to go back to Ponzi schemes, Raul, you asked what the ringleader is of wallet. I don't think there's one central ringleader in this case. I think there's a concept, and you have like many pyramids popping up everywhere, and everyone uses the same concept. So you have Team Raul, Team Greg, Team Ryan, and those are the three ringleaders of their respective team.
Was just an example. Those are just examples he just mentioned. I'm just clearing my name.
Yeah.
yes. Welcome, Devin.
Yeah. And they all use the same concept, but then they have a different first step investment and a different output. But it works the same. So I don't really know how some of them work, because some of them require you to invite people, and sometimes I see ads. No invites. So how does that work? Maybe I should join one just for the research.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe you should bring him to the podcast.
But did something happen in East Europe? Remember with the one coin or a doggo coin, something like that? Was it also a sort of Ponzi scheme?
Yeah. Yeah, the one life.
One life thing. Yeah.
We touched on that, but kind of local. One life was international, and I think you have a lot of international life Ponzi schemes, MLM marketing, and one way probably is when someone goes to a country or a region where it's not available yet. And then that person becomes kind of the ringleader, introduce it, finds 3 to 4 people, you know, who spread it out. And that's how they like rapidly multiply, like rabbits. But
I have a question.
A moment of silence for the people who invested in one life.
No. they had like 2 years worth of moments of silence, I think.
Yeah. I have a question
from him.
Yeah. Let's get back to the topic.
Yeah, I have a question for the group. Because Diego, you actually asked a question. Besides of the cues that we can use to allow people to recognize these schemes, what are other solutions that we can offer to help people not get entrapped in these schemes? One question that I have, because I'm trying to think of a way, is let me look at a country like Norwegian, where the living standard is very high, and you can say it's nearly a utopia if you look at the country.
Yeah.
or their any schemes, yeah, from outside looking in. Yeah, from outside looking in. Are there in those type of countries where the living standard is very high and everything from outside looking in from outside in, everything seems to be very organized and everybody's doing very well. Were there ever Ponzi schemes held in those countries?
I can't say for sure, but probably. I won't rule it out. Because here's the thing, I think. Where you have people, the thing is, how fast does the community accept it or not? You mentioned the utopian, everything structured. Right before we started the session, me and Ryan had this kind of discussion as well, because in the Netherlands, for example, it's really structured and it gets stamped out faster, relatively faster. So you have to look at it as scale. What percentage of the population? Also look at the demographics. Also look at, are they big cities, urban areas? So taking all these things into account, I think it's safe to say there may have been attempts. How successful they were, I do not know. Because different country, different stuff. And there's so many happening. So they might fly under the radar. Some just happened in closed groups, like cult-like mentality. You don't hear of it like widespread social media, but it happens on a down low level. So with that being said, I want to say it may have happened or it may not. We don't know. Pandora's box.
The reason why I'm asking the question is because I wanted to know if a country in crisis, of course, a country in crisis is going to be much easier to have this system running. But I wanted to know if there is a difference between the mindset. If you're surrounding and the environment is on a different level, does it still happen? That's what I wanted to figure out. Because then you know what type of approach you can then have regarding the Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
But what is crisis? I think even in a developed country like the United States, if you take certain parts of it, people are living in crisis. So if they have, I don't know what the population there is, but if they have 7 million people and 500,000 are living below the poverty line, probably much more, then those people are as easy of a prey as the half of the population in Suriname that is struggling.
Okay, so I think Ryan, and then please correct me, Ryan. It then seems to be that it all has to do with the psychological profile of the human being, the mindset of the human being. It all has to do with behavior. Am I correct? That's keeping these Ponzi schemes alive.
That's one of the factors that have influence on the behavior of people. But a second factor is also like fear. When a country is in crisis, let's say you need to cross a river full of crocodiles, but there's a swarm of bees or whatever behind your back, and you know that they are going to attack you, you will most likely take the chance to cross the river because you have a fear of dying. And in a country is in crisis, you have a fear of like ending up poor or ending up doing something that you cannot do anymore. You have gained some financial, when you had gained some financial stability in life, the fear of losing that drives you to do stuff. And that's why you're most willingly to overcome the other psychological barriers, such as the $50 entry fee. And then that's how you fall for stuff. So I believe, based on the knowledge I have about human behavior and psychological thinking and neurolinguistic programming, that a crisis, a country with crisis, there you have the higher potential that you get more people, you can recruit more people to your schemes.
Yeah, to sum that up, I guess it's like that survival bias. And yeah, maybe to make a point to what Greg said, the developed country, Joel said there's crisis. Even in developed countries, there's crisis. It depends on the percentage of the population. But I do think, as you mentioned, that if your survivability is less at risk, you're less susceptible to fall for these. Because, but then again, maybe in this utopian country, you see, oh, everything is good. I have survival guaranteed. What else can I do to make money?
So yeah, so where
it could work out the other way too.
That would apply to financial crisis, but you have other kinds of crises too, like a lack of IQ crisis. And that's not bound to one country, okay, or whether it's developed or not.
I'm just going to refer to a book that I'm almost done reading, and I can like find myself there. It's the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. I don't know if you guys have read the book, but he's right. We never learned in school how money works. How we didn't get that. It's like what we saw, how our parents made their money. That's most likely the path we follow to make our own money, because we didn't like got it at school. Let's be honest.
You didn't get the difference between assets and liabilities.
Not in exactly that particular sense. But beside us, a lot of people, especially those who are falling for these schemes, I believe that they don't know how money works. Because if you know how money works, you would recognize that, hey, this is not how it works. I should not invest in that.
Okay, so I have a crazy idea on how to get people to know how money works. So let's say, let's look into how the mind of a Ponzi scheme initiator, or, you know, the ringleader functions. Because obviously he knows how money works, I would assume. So what do you
not
guys
think? Not necessarily. Unless yeah, unless he's also being controlled by another ringleader abroad.
Let's say you are at the top or close to the top. So you know how it works. What do you think goes to the mind of someone like that? Like, is he deliberately trying to rip off people, trying to, you know, create discourse and disrupt the situation, the economic situation, deliberately knowing that people at the bottom will turn out worse? Or is there something else driving his decisions?
So so this is a very hard question for me to answer, but I believe human beings are good by nature, and that we are being driven by our upbringing and our beliefs, etc., etc. Okay, now I got that out of the way. I think the moment
disclaimer. Just say what you want to say.
I think the moment you choose to start taking people money, knowing that there's a certain guideline that you follow and a certain process and mindset that you have, I think the guy on the top is very, very smart at using his brains. And I think he's very well educated, and he knows how the mind of people work. He knows that he knows our lack of education. And I'm saying our lack of education because even we are not, even our education is not finished. So I think he's very, very well educated in human behavior psychology. So that's why he's guaranteed that his scheme is going to work. Or she, sorry. Yeah. I'm not sure.
They're usually very charismatic people.
Yes, I think they know the inner workings of our mind. So that's why they started, because they know it's going to work. Because
just like political figures.
Yeah, and even though and I don't think it's just one person, because most of these things start with a brainstorm session. You know, you have a couple of friends who think, hey, Leah, let's do it. But I think he's just very well, educated
right
in human behavior. Yeah, yeah. I think he's very well educated in human behavior.
Okay, let's hypothetically speaking, we're going to start one right now.
Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking, let's brainstorm ideas.
Yeah. Can we please invite Sean Luke, because he's the social media guru, so we can start using him.
Okay.
So we have social media covered.
Let's make use of his technical abilities.
Hey, okay.
So, the point I'm trying to make basically is trying to simulate, well, we don't know how it goes, but how could it go so people see, you know, I think we are reasonably smart. There are, of course, smarter people. We have a decent amount of self-awareness. We are aware of how these things are. So let's use the collective brain power here to come up with an ingenious Ponzi scheme idea and show people some behind the scenes of how that would work and what people think. Hypothetically.
Maybe we can start a Ponzi scheme on the future oil gain that we are going to have in Suriname. Maybe have people start investing their money.
Yeah.
And the return is going to be in 2020.
Exactly. We need to start identifying some key buzzwords that will attract people, like oil.
Okay.
And
like oil.
We call it
oil. I have a question.
We call it oil coin or something.
Yeah.
There is something going on in like locally. Success Factory. Is that also one of them?
Success. I know of it. I know. I've heard of it.
Yeah,
and it's they kind of try to link it to
was it the Grassy
that coin as well, like something
yeah.
like that. I do not know too much about it. I've seen some familiar faces in it, and it makes me wonder what goes through the mind of these people, because you think these people are kind of, you know, to a certain have certain knowledge
yeah.
about things.
Yeah.
So
because
that's why I wonder what goes through the mind of these people. Because even some people you may have respected, or, you know, respect is a strong word, but think they could be better than that, and you see them there.
They have ethical values.
Yeah.
People from who you assume that they have ethical values, you know?
Like it was even on Dime Network, man. I was like, what? Yeah. Dime Network. Like, literally, it stated here, like, Success Factory wins more, or it gains more traction in Suriname. Yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
It was stated, this article was stated, it's on YouTube, and it's on Dime Network, and it's stated from the 20th of November 2019.
So last year, basically a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And they call themselves International Marketing Network. Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Very so apparently big names work.
Yeah.
And
they do.
Put it international
so
in
we
it.
Have big names. Yeah. Okay. Put the international in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and I'm not. And look, yeah. So sorry. So regarding Diego's remark about let's put up a quick scheme, I think also if you wanted to work in Suriname, if you really wanted to work in Suriname, just put a white guy on the screen, yes, behind the screen.
Let him do the same. Present everything in English. People don't ask questions.
English, a white guy, international.
Speaking of white guys.
Yeah.
Jean-Luc shall be our spokesperson. okay, he's got he might hate us after hearing this episode. Who knows? He might. Okay, yeah, put something, someone charismatic, white guy, or beautiful female, you know. Get some influencers on it, because you know they want to make a quick buck on you know, that Instagram ad, lifestyle influencer, look at this new fashion, travel blogger, whatever, powered by
give them some money to buy some fancy stuff to make it look like they made all that with the scheme.
Okay. You mentioned an important thing. So where does that initial money come from to invest in all these marketing and big events? Where do we get the money from?
You play what?
Hell no, that they invested themselves.
That's an interesting question.
No, they invested themselves.
So they would you to. Say, Raul, you'd have to have money first to come up with a scheme?
No, yeah. I think they're using smaller schemes to pay out this one and then make a bigger one and bigger one. So like literally the whole thing is a scheme already built on another scheme, built on another scheme. It's like a lie built on a lie built on a lie just to conceal the whole thing. Just figuring out to keep make people pouring money in and then giving back.
What I heard from a couple of people that actually went to invest their $50 or $100 or whatever, when you arrive at the spot, there's always somebody, because you're talking about do they invest their own money, there's always somebody there who's actually has a bundle of cash just to trigger you to say, hey, look, this is how much money you can get.
Yeah,
I think that's the only investment I think that's the only investment that they do, only just to show you, just a bundle of cash, a couple of $100, just to show you, hey, this is the amount of money you can gain while investing with us. I think that's the only investment they do. Just show the cash, and the people that walk up to the table, they are already sold.
I think that's the only car they sold or something.
Right,
that's another psychological effect, like showing the money. And then people forget everything else. And you know where it may end? Let's say you invested the 50. You're in the beginning stages. Like it's not that popular yet. And you're like, let's say in the pyramid scheme, you're like on the third or fourth layer from the top. The moment you go to collect your money, the guy who is handing you that money over will convince you to invest the amount that you've collected again in order to receive more. And that's how they gain your trust. Because if you place like 50 and you come to after 2 weeks to collect your 5,000 and you say, hey, I received my 5,000. And then he'll convince you, if you invest your 5,000, you will get 50,000. In 2 weeks, psychological effect. You fall for it. But the moment you say, no, I'm done, I want my 5,000, see you, I'm out of this, that's how the system starts falling.
I think they keep that in mind, and they expect that at least more than half of the people will say yes. I will reinvest.
99.9%.
And the other half, at least, or max, that doesn't say that just says I want to give me my money, I'm out. If at least more than half doesn't do that, then they don't lose anything, basically. They just gain. They just keep gaining. Or whatever kind of...
It depends how big the scheme is. Yeah. But let's say, that's why I said if you're like in on the fourth stage or third stage from the top, and you do this, the whole scheme ends right there. But the bigger it gets, like all the money shifts then to the loss. Like the person
to the bottom layers.
Yeah.
So imagine how smart these people are, Diego, to answer your question. Imagine how smart they are.
Let's say we set it up now. So what's our exit strategy? You know, get out. We see it, the system starts grumbling. What's the exit strategy? What's going through our minds?
We blame everything on the white guy.
Yes. We make sure we have enough footage and enough, information on the guy. So every time, like, who's did it? He's him. It's him. He instigated it. Okay.
Nowadays you have Black Lives Matter. Maybe after 10 years we'll have White Lives Matter. I don't want people to watch the video after 10 years and accuse us for harassing white people, you know?
But basically that comes down to that idea. Yeah. Oh, one second, Greg. It's basically not putting yourself out there. You put a figurehead there.
It doesn't have to be a white guy, but you need to have a scapegoat.
Yeah, scapegoat.
Someone who has charismatic skills and who can present himself as someone who is trustworthy and elegant and have morals and ethics, you know.
I'm going to say that doesn't. That doesn't always work, because if you look at, I'm going to go a bit political. So if you look at the 10 years political situation in Suriname, there was a very charismatic guy on top, and he always blamed other countries for the downfall of Suriname. There was always a country outside Suriname that was manipulating everything so that the country could become what it is right now, a very, very deep hole. So you don't always have to blame the guy that's in front of the TV. You can always blame every other stuff just to get away. So yeah, there are a lot of ways to escape the situation.
But in the end, they kind of did tend to move a bit of the blame to the Minister of Finance or ex-Minister of Finance, or at least they distanced themselves from him.
But wait, we were asking ourselves, who is like the head person of wallet? Maybe it's him.
That's where I know exactly where he got his initial investment money.
One thing. Do you guys also were talking like bringing the system down from inside out?
Elaborate on that. What's your genius plan?
Because I'm actually, for the sake of checking how the system works, I'm in one. Let me elaborate on that. So someone close to me is like, yo, you gotta do it. I was like, yo, you know that these guys are breaking the system of the cash, right? They were like, yeah, but you know, you always get your money. I'm like, okay, check this out. So how much is that group? She said, okay, it's like 20. I was like, okay, I'm gonna give you that 20. And in 2 weeks, I need to get my money, or 3 weeks. And it's almost like 2 months. Nobody's getting any money. Literally.
Want to break it from the inside?
Because they broke up the group. You have to split the group and I believe in four or something. And then you have to go with Sestine Stopper and all this kind of crap. And they put me as one as the, how do you say that again? Whew. The group bring people out. There's some other mensen uitbrengen in groepen, and those
yep. persons define them in groups.
Yeah.
Do you want to call them out, or are you still undercover? What's the name?
No, I'm not undercover. I'm just sitting there, and I'm constantly asking. So, what's going to happen in the group? And the person that is on top, is like, no, you gotta keep finding. You gotta keep trying. I'm like, really? That's I can literally show you the app, like what I asked, like, okay, so what's happening here and everything. And nobody in the group where I am is searching out. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And they go, keep on waiting because I'm not going to send out no invites.
Is it a wallet group or something else?
It's a wallet group. This is like 20% a day or so. Yeah. So, and they keep asking, like, what's going to happen? I'm like, yo, you guys still believe in this? Like, you guys still believe that this is going to work? So that's one of the things.
And so won't you say that you're already at the bottom of that pyramid?
Yeah, I am on the bottom because it looks like I'm top, but I'm not on top. I'm on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I'm literally the bottom feeder. And on
but
the
do like, you think you can? Yeah. Do you think you can find out who's higher up? There is someone
higher up on me. And this guy is basically, he's in the military. He is, I'm not going to call this out his name, but I do know, but he's in the military. He's really on TikTok. So he nigga can't hide. I know where he works.
Say his name.
But I do know where he works. That though.
But you haven't received your money yet.
Nope.
So ask for your money.
I'm not asking. Like, I can ask for it, but yeah, what's the point for staying there and find out more?
So what's the sabotaging strategy? You're going to get it.
Do you think he deliberately told let you know that he's in the military so you won't go asking for your money?
Yeah, that's the thing, because he keep asking to put out invites, so people put in so that I can receive. And there is another thing, they tell you, like, for instance, in the group where I am, they tell you, you get 1,000, but actually you need to get 1,200, but they're keeping in 200 to keep the thing going. So they like, if they say, this is, like, if they give you the precedent, this, they give you the amount of money, like, okay, you're gonna receive this. That is not exactly what you need to receive according the formula they're using. They're keeping money in. And a lot also. Also a lot.
One moment,
yeah, Diego, correct. Because this is very interesting. Correct. Because he just told us, gave us a quick view on how it works. So what happens is, so you have the first group, and then everybody puts in money. So the bigger the group gets, so what they do, so they split the group up in different groups, so that every group now has a leader who is going to become, who's also become his own independent group. So now you have to go and get more people so that you can get your own cash back.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. the guy per group needs to link back, because the guy that splits up, it's still in the other groups. He has his subjects, like, he puts out people in the group, still in the group, like, he keep checking. It's like, he's like,
yes, it's the pyramid.
Yeah.
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 So what you're saying is that they're all connected.
Yeah, I believe the other group, the one that went viral on Facebook, like Fabian, like he's one of the biggest one. Like, I mean, I think he's connected to a lot of groups, and I even heard that someone that is from that area. Like, he bought up other groups, something like that.
Ryan, you wanted to comment on that?
Yeah. Just imagine. Let's say you're now in a group, right? And they ask you to recruit people. Let's say you recruit within a week or 2 weeks, 5 people, and then you ask them to recruit more people. Like if the 5 people recruit 5 people, then you have 25 people. So you would, at the end of the day, after let's say a month, you would make profit from 25 people at least.
Yeah.
Who are actively participating. And that's how, like, and if you make money from 25 people, the guy who is above you also makes money from those 25 people. That's how it works.
That's the logic of the pyramid.
Yeah.
But I think the guys.
I'm going to say goodbye. It was very informative.
Yeah, before you go, Greg, I think we are about to wrap it up as well because we've gone so long. So before you go, do you have any final thoughts for your brother, maybe for anyone else, on how, you know, to deal with these situations?
My final thought would be get yourself educated. You know, the more you read, the more you educate yourself, the more you become aware of these kind of schemes, but also the more you become aware of your own norms. You become aware of what your purpose in life is, etc., etc. So it all comes down to education. Get yourself educated so that you can recognize this kind of stuff and stay true to yourself. That's my final thought.
And before, one quick follow-up, when you say education, is there any specific direction you'd recommend people go at first?
Financial education and behavioral education. Get to know yourself. Yeah. One, finance, and also why is it that I'm behaving in a certain way?
Okay, thanks.
Yes, have a nice evening.
Have a good night.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye, Greg.
Bye.
Bye, Greg.
Okay, well, I guess we should wrap up because we've been at this for a while now. Who wants to go next?
adding to what Greg said, I would like to add one important step. Whenever you see some kind of opportunity to make money, and that's from an individual perspective, always do your own research, ask questions. Look it up, check out reviews if you can find any, ask how the system works, try to understand the system. And if you don't understand the system, don't do it. You need to have a certain amount of knowledge of whatever you're getting into before you do it, even if it's not on a technical level. As to what we can do to raise awareness, to a certain extent, we have a responsibility, but I don't think we are responsible for everyone. So in my case, I have friends and family who may not be on a technical level of things, and you have companies like OneCoin who use buzzwords like blockchain. As soon as I see that they're interested in something like that, or I see that something else pops up, I write a huge article and send it into the family or friend groups that I'm tied to. And if they want to forward that to their own friends or family, they can. But I make sure that my own environment is aware, at least. And if everyone does that, I think we can cover a good amount, but always do your own research.
Are you by any chance planning to share some of those articles on Hive?
Yeah, probably.
Just a session.
Still working on my writing skills.
Cool.
I actually haven't used Facebook in like almost a month. Since I started being active on Hive. So
nice.
Probably might close that account.
Wait. Aren't you the guy, RAGA, on Hive?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, okay, that explains
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No,
I'm wondering that too.
No, it's a good thing. No, it's a good thing because I've been doing the same. So yeah.
Cool. I guess you want to go next, Evan.
Okay. Yes. A quick elaboration. Like, what I'm doing with the wallet thing is nothing. It's just observation and checking how the thing works. But I don't. I don't recommend people doing that. Just the facts are already out there and saying this is a scheme and everything. But a simple thing what people can do, maybe in like a large family groups that they trust. For instance, what we did when I was way younger, when we got money, maybe selling things or by getting, getting money somehow. Then we put it in together, we put it in a pot, and by end of the month, somebody gets it and they invest it to buy something that they can make money again. And that's how we do it. So that's just a small thing. So people can use that and stay woke and keep learning yourself, keep educating yourself. There are so many books out there, even free books. There are articles, forums, and go easy on your money. If you can buy it, don't buy it. Even one rich man said, if you can buy it three times, leave it alone. So yeah, those kind of things I wanted to say. Those things I live by.
Cool. Thanks. Ul? Or Brian?
Oh.
We will hear. Yeah, Raul.
I have nothing really to add to all everybody has said already. I would like to add a suggestion to the group that maybe we as a group with knowledge we have already gathered, maybe we should start a project to educate people on basic financial skills, because we know it has to start from the bottom, and give financial education to Lahra school.
Elementary school.
That could be the core of our Ponzi scheme.
There you go. There you go. Selling packages to educate the little children.
A Ponzi scheme against Ponzi schemes.
Like Donald Trump was accused for having a Ponzi scheme with his educational stuff system.
I guess take the last word, Ryan.
Okay, yes, like most of you guys, like everyone said it, educate yourself on how money works. For me, I learned a lot by reading the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. Suggest that everyone who is watching this podcast, I highly recommend you guys to read that book. I'm not promoting it, but for those who don't like to read,
I know what you're getting at, Raul. Kiyosaki.
Yeah, for those who don't like to read, like, be that annoying kid you had in primary school or secondary school
who
questioned everything, and the whole class was annoyed by just this dude or girl, like, he again. It's so clear. Be that guy. Yeah. Be that girl. Ask questions. Ask
everything. I was that kid.
Everything. And one of you guys also said it. If you want to buy something, I recently read that if you see something that you really want, wait 7 days. If after 7 days you still have the urge to buy it, then you should buy it. Otherwise,
yes,
just greed or whatever.
That's another thing I use.
Yeah, don't impulse buy. Yeah, I think Raul was about to say, correct me if I'm wrong. Read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, but just the book. Don't go checking out Kiyosaki too much. Am I right?
Yes, you do need to check out.
So yeah, go on.
I do believe that that is the end stop to his Ponzi scheme.
Read the book. You do need to check out the interview where he cusses out that reporter. That one is one.
Okay.
To one.
All right, I guess, yeah, to wrap up, thanks for sharing your tips. Ask why at least 5 times and then make your decision. Resist the urge to impulse spend and don't invest in anything you don't understand, even if, you know, it might be something good, but if you don't understand it yourself, it's kind of a waste because you won't know why it worked out for you or not. The next time might as well you crash and burn. And thanks guys for joining. I guess Greg couldn't make it, but we'll see you in another episode. We'll have more of these group casual talks, discussions more often. What do you guys think? Did you guys enjoy this?
Yeah.
This format?
Yeah. Yeah. Casual cash talks.
We should do something on Ponzi schemes with crypto, like the articles I showed you, Diego. We should have a nice discussion about it.
We can go academic with it.
Is it real crypto or is it one coin crypto?
No. It's more about detecting Ponzi schemes
in a systematic way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely something to look at. Drop the suggestions in the Discord. Anyone who wants to join the Discord, links always available. And until the next time.